everyone. My name is Asif and I lead Salesforce practice at Royal Cyber. I welcome you all in today's episode of another episode of the series of podcasts which we are doing on composable commerce. So it's the ninth episode which we are hosting today, and as part of today's session we are going to talk about more on the caching ECDN and how caching and ECDN works when it comes to Salesforce B2C composable commerce. And today I have with me Iftikhar Khan, who's our senior Salesforce B2C commerce architect, and Foha Khalid, who is our tech lead for Salesforce B2C composable commerce. All right, so to start with, Foha, before we go more into the caching and ECDN, please tell us about a bit on PWA kit, which comes as part of the composable packaging of B2C commerce, which contains this React with a storefront.
Right. So before we try to understand how caching works, it is imperative for us to understand what PWAs are. So PWAs are progressive web apps, and they are apps that basically are built on the fundamentals of web development, but they follow the user experience of native apps. So for PWAs that, like this one, what you can run it on your phone, and when you check out the user experience, it's very similar to a native app, and you can even install it. Like as soon as you open it, you have like a pop-up that comes up and asks you, do you want to install this? And it actually installs it, and there's an icon that shows up, which is exactly the way that an app would work. You can click it and you'd have that same user experience. So I think this concept is important when it comes to understanding caching, because the science behind that is it uses service workers, which we're going to delve deeper into. And that is a very, it's something that really improves the caching in your local device.
Okay. All right. It means if somebody who's using, a React-based storefront, which is on PWA kit, that storefront can even run offline, right? Iftikhar, you have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, surely. So basically the thought, the background of this is that, so there were two different flavors when we talk about the internet applications. So one is the native application and then the web application, right? So the native application, so in terms of performance, it is always it's like comparatively, it's better than the web, because when network comes in between, so you are fetching the contents from the web. It includes HTML, JavaScript, and the data itself, right? But when you run your code on the native application, so native application only have to fetch the data only. So the performance of the native application is better than the web application. So this PWA kit is a mixture of both. So it is actually the web application, but it's behave like a native application. So when you run a URL in a browser, so you see an install button inside the browser. So when you click on this install, so it's actually there is an application written in the JavaScript called service worker. So this application installed on your native device, whether it's a desktop or mobile application or whatever. So after all the application code and everything reside on your device, and it's behave like the native application. So from there, so you have the both flavors, the web and the native. So the problem with the native application is that in the SEO perspective, though the data is not listed as the web is like optimized in the SEO perspective, right? So when you have the PWA kit, so with the PWA kit, you have the both flavors. So you have the web and the native. For the SEO perspective, it's better, and the performance is also optimized. So the PWAs kit come into picture with these two perspectives.
Thank you, Iftikhar. This is really a great insight. Now, Foha, Now, when it comes to B2C composable commerce, we know that it comes as a package which also contains, apart from PWA kit, it contains MRT, managed runtime, right, which hosts your application, your storefront. So how this caching and the CDN, you know, eCDN works within MRT? What kind of support provides when it comes to caching and CDN?
So MRT comes with its own CDN. Basically, what this does is that based on your network proximity, it's going to give you data from whatever is the closest to your geolocation, whatever server comes closest to that. So this improves, obviously, the performance. It reduces the time for the response to come. One thing that I'd like to go over what the architecture from beginning to end looks like over here. So first, let's suppose that your user makes a request, right? The user opened the page or they opened the website. Now, the first thing that would come into play is your service worker. And your service worker is basically, it's just a file that stores on your local device. It caches on your local device, that page. So it has data that it can simply return and render to you offline as well. If you have any sort of discrepancies in your network, it caters to that. So the first thing is that the service worker is going to check for your request. Does it have that data cached with it in that device? If it does have fresh data, then it will return it to you. And if it does not, then it would carry on with the normal DNS lookup that we have, which would then hit the nearest CDN edge node, which is provided from MRT. So that's the second place, that's a second tier of caching that you have. Now the MRT gets that response before it actually forwards it to the servers or the backend. It's going to check it in the MRT environment. Does it have fresh data available for the response? If it has it in the CDN, then it's going to return that as a response. And if it does not, then it's going to map it. It's going to take it to the app server, which exists in the MRT. And then it's going to process your routing and basically fetch the data from whatever respective third party. It can be the SFCC server, wherever it needs to get that data from. And once it gets that data, then it's going to render it over here. Another important thing that we need to know about PWA is that you have two types of rendering. You have your server-side rendering as well as client-side rendering. The benefit of this is something in SEO that we have actually discussed before as well, that you can basically load faster an HTML skeleton, which would enable your crawlers to pick up your page and understand what contents it has. So you have server-side rendering, which runs in parallel with your client-side rendering. And both of these will cache the response with them. So when the response comes to the server-side and the client-side, both of them will cache it. So the next time that request goes, then both of them will check with themselves whether they can return fresh data or not. So this is the entire flow. And you can see when you study this flow, you can see that there are tiered cache. There's tiered caching in play. There is server-side rendering, client-side rendering, and basically all of this works together to improve the performance of your page and ensure that you have the greatest cache hit ratio.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Yeah. I mean, it's good. I mean, you explained the end-to-end flow, and this tier level caching is something which is very important to understand. Iftikhar, now Foha talked about the caching which MRT provides, and then this tier-based caching, and then CDN is one of the components there, which stores the data. How do you see this caching in CDN when it compares to the CDN and caching provided inside Xen or the SFRA frameworks?
Okay, so when we talk about SFRA and the side genesis, so the both are the server side technologies, right? So your page is built on the server side. So all the cache you set, all the configuration, so you set on the page level and on the controller level, right? So you have the control of cache at the controller level. You set different values for different pages. For example, you can set different value for the PDP and different for the PLP. So as per your specific requirement, so you have the option to set different cache expiry time and all that. So the control is on the server side, so you can control from the controller and the template itself. And then you have the option in the business manager where you can set the cache invalidation time for your static contents as well, right? So this is SFR. But when it comes to PWAKit, so as I said, the PWAKit, the whole application, when it is installed, the server worker is installed, the whole application reside on your local device. It means that the whole application is cached, right? So you need to determine and you need to analyze your contents, and you need to make the strategies that the what is the best strategy you need for different pages, right? So it offers different options. For example, the cache first. Cache first means that it will look for the cached content first. And if it is not found, then it will call the network. And similarly, you can set the network first, right? So first it will call the network and then will cache the response for the next call, right? So this is another. And similarly, stall while revalidate is another strategy you can adopt. So where you can serve the cache response, but in parallel, you fetch the fresh contents from the network. And similarly, cache only or network only. So it totally depends on how your application is and where you need which strategy, right? For example, as I said, cache first is best when it is useful for the static assets. Cache first. So where the static assets are not updated frequently, right? And similarly, network first is best for the dynamic content, where you need the fresh content, always the fresh content. And for next similar call, you can consume the cached response for the time you have set for the TTL you have set, right? So there are different options available within the PWAKit while you are developing your pages. So you can adopt these strategies, which is which best match for your pages, right? Okay. And then you need to set up the proper invalidate strategy. So when you need to invalidate which content for this, as the server worker is there, so you need to put some cron job or any process. So which watch your cache and according to the TTL you have set, so it invalidate that cache so that the next time you can get the fresh content from the server, right? So sure. Everything is open. So you need to decide your strategy as per the content you have on your application.
Sure. So if I'm understanding it correctly in that way, because you know, the service worker which keeps the content on the local device, so it means right. The rendering happens quickly, and that's where the performance improves, right? When it comes to the you know, composable or the React based application storefront.
Service worker is basically a process which intercepts the request and response.
Correct.
And accordingly, it can like cache or invalidate whatever you want within that application. So it's behave like a proxy between your application and the server.
Sure. Okay. So now, lastly, I just want to throw this question to both of you, and you guys can give your inputs. I mean, we know that there are best practices or standards defined by Salesforce when it comes to caching strategies or caching rules or invalidation rules, page by page caching or component level caching within Salesforce SiteGen and SFRA. Now, what are the best practices which you guys can share, you know, when it comes to defining caching strategies within Composable?
So as I said, that there are different strategies. It depends how your contents are, how frequently they are updated, right? So for example, you have you need a real-time data. For example, an auction application, right? So you are running an auction, so you need real-time data in every second, right? So at So for this, you need network only. You do not need to cache anything, right?
Yes.
Correct. So it only, so it's depend what kind of content you have and how mm-hmm. frequently you want to get the fresh data from the server. So based on that, you can put your strategy. So this is the mm-hmm. best practice that you should know that when your content need to be updated from the server, right? So based on that, you can set these different strategies and the cache invalidation strategies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, So, for example, if you set very short TTL, so it means that you will be getting your content fresh every time, but you may increase your performance response time.
Yeah, response time. Yeah.
So you need to analyze your application first based on that. So there are different options available, as I said, the network first, cache first, and mix both of this, cache only, network only, right?
Sure.
So based on that, you need to set your strategy for every page as per the requirement.
Sure. Okay. All right. Foha, your thoughts?
Sure. I would second Iftikharpe on that. Besides that, you can also leverage, as we mentioned, service workers caching. It has two concepts over here of pre-caching and runtime caching. Pre-caching is basically, it's going to load everything that's essential for your storefront. There are some things that you know, regardless of what route the customer is going to go through, which pages they're going to visit, you know, there's some things that will have to load. So you're going to just pre-cache that as soon as they install it, as soon as they visit it, that part's going to be kept on the device. Even if they go offline, it's going to load the main page for you. And then you've got runtime caching, which is more personalized. It's like the pages that they have visited. It would store that temporarily with the user. So you can implement strategies like these and then also the ones that Iftikharpe mentioned. Besides that, you've got, you know, the basic caching. Obviously, you split it into what's more frequently visited, what's more frequently changed, and then you've got personalized content that you will not cache, or you will cache temporarily, or for less time. And then there's some mm-hmm. things that you can cache, like images, etc., that you can keep on your storefront. There's no harm in keeping that for a longer period of time. So implementing all of these together, you can basically improve and cache ratio.
One point in terms of implementation is important. So you should add the versioning in your URL so that when a new version comes from the data or the application, so it automatically invalidates the previous version of the resource. So it will automatically invalidate.
So these strategies, I mean, you guys said that, you know, like caching first or network first or a mix of both, you know, depending on what business needs you are, how frequently your data or content changes on the website. Yeah. Are these configurable within the MRT? Where exactly do you do these configurations? How easily and quickly you can configure these settings based on your needs?
So it is not something which is being done at the something on the admin panel or something like this, but it's on your at the code level, or you're doing the implementation of the service worker and the interacting with them. So you need to implement during your implementation.
Okay.
So it's not something like you configure in the business manager, in the SFR, et cetera, for the strategic resources. Yeah. But it's more like you set into the controller in the site genesis and the SFRA controller. Okay. Right? So you do it. Okay. It's more like that.
For some APIs, though, for some SCAPI requests, they have a feature in the business manager before 2024, I think March. Recently, you can enable it from your administration feature switches. Yeah. And after that, it's if you've, you know, for customers who've come after that or enrolled in SCAPI after that, it's automatically switched on. So this enables caching for your APIs. And there are some default timings for your for those APIs that are already pre-configured. And if you want to change it, you can create a custom endpoint to override those defaults and change how long you want your APIs to be cached. API responses to be cached.
This only applies to SCAPI.
SCAPI for SCAPI.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I think I think we've talked about it before that these are the areas where even Salesforce is also exploring more and coming up with how they can facilitate or can improve these features as part of the platform, right, out of the box, the way they are there in the Safari or SiteGen, how they can have a similar kind of portal available where they can provide these configurational settings to the customers, you know. Okay. All right. Thank you, both of you. Thank you for your time. And it was really nice getting all these details on all these areas. As a lot of people, a lot of customers, they are asking these questions. And I think this information is really helpful for them. Thank you. And hopefully we'll connect with them in the next episode. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.